I'm going to share our sermon scripture with you today, and it comes from 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, beginning in the second chapter, verse 11 of 2 Thessalonians, and heading on down to the first verse of chapter 3. So 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel so that you may share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings that we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. May the Lord add understanding to the reading of his word. We are so blessed and privileged to have with us today Pastor Roger Tickle, along with his wife Melody. Thankful that they are with us today. Pastor Tickle is so well known up around Mount Vernon and the good works that he's doing up in the Mount Vernon area. He is the chaplain of the Mount Vernon Police Department. He has led and is leading numerous prayer walks around Mount Vernon, especially those areas of Mount Vernon which have been so devastated by the drug crisis there. He is the president of the Knox Network of Christian Ministries, and he is one of the chairs of Revive Knox. So we are so thankful that he and his wife are with us today. So church, give a warm welcome to Pastor Roger Tickle.
I'll go back and sit down and come up again. I don't get applauded much. Thank you. I concur with you on the worship this morning. It was really good for me. I appreciate it. My wife and I are sitting there, and it's, you know, preacher, I was at a church one time, and we're sitting behind the family of the evangelist that was speaking. And the evangelist was talking, he was talking the church up and saying, you know, we were talking on the way over here just how friendly you are and how much. And a little boy leaned over to his mom. This is a true story, right? And he leaned over and said, we never said anything about that, Mom. So you never know, you know. But I appreciate the worship this morning. It was really good for me. My wife and I have recently gone through some difficult things in our life, and you know how, you know, sometimes the Lord just uses different things to say, "Hey, I'm still here. You know, I'll climb that mountain for you. You know, I'll break down that wall for you." And it's just some of those things we just, you know, we just need to hear periodically, even as preachers, right? I mean, we're people and we face it too. So, you know, I just really appreciate the opportunity to be able to come and stand up here and share with you all. Pastor is a very brave man. He doesn't really know me. So, you know, you never know. But and preachers are kind of selfish with their pulpits, and we're kind of protective over our people. So, you know, what I'll do is I'll get up here, I'll make you really mad, then I'm going to leave and he can deal with you. That's where we'll leave that. No, I don't intend to make anybody mad. I take this very seriously. I don't take my faith in Jesus Christ as something lightly, as something light. I'm very serious about what I believe because I don't believe that what I believe is just another truth. I don't believe that what I have is just another religion. I believe that what I have is what God created it to be, that it is the truth. It's the only truth. And that's the only reason I'm up here. I wouldn't do this otherwise. I feel like it'd be a waste of time. It's like I told the earlier church, the unity that I'm beginning to see. We had we're going to have another come and see next Sunday at Vineyard in Mount Vernon. I'd really encourage you all to come to that. The first one we had, my wife wasn't able to go, but we were talking on the way, and it's like, man, I just don't really feel good about this. Just don't know if we got there. About 150 people came, and there were almost 20 pastors there from the community. Church, that's incredible. That is incredible. God is doing something here in Knox County and around our state, but specifically, I have said over and over at Knox Network meetings that one of the things that I really believe is we can be that county that other counties are looking at and saying, man, what is going on there? We want a part of this. We want to see what's going on. Do you realize, and I'm going off a little bit here, but do you realize we have a judge that's setting up in our courtroom, Judge Rick Wetzel, who loves Jesus. I've been in prayer meetings with Rick Wetzel, and it's amazing to hear your judge call demons out, you know? I mean, it's incredible. We got three county commissioners that are followers of Jesus, that are believers. We've got a sheriff that loves Jesus. We have a captain on our police department and Sergeant Andy Burns on the police department. Both are born-again believers. They're the ones that kind of got the chaplaincy going. And it's all over this community. It's amazing what's going on in Knox County. I've even, you know, even the missionaries from Revive Ohio are, you know, they're coming in here and they're amazed at the things that we have going on in Knox County that you don't see other places. God has given us an open door, and what we have to do is we've got to seize the moment. And we've got to walk through that door. We have an opportunity. There are, you can go through Scripture. Josiah, King Josiah, perfect example. God had pronounced judgment on Israel. I'm done with you, he said. He said, that's it. Josiah comes along. What did Josiah do? He found the Word of God. He respected the Word of God. He turned the people's hearts back to God. What did God do? God pulled his judgment back until after Josiah was gone. So God does give opportunities to turn around and get this thing right. And if he's given us an open door, I'm telling you, we had better step into it. If we don't, the door that's open for us now, which is very vivid and very plain to see, if we don't step into it, then we've got nobody to blame but ourselves. And the church has got to stand up. And I got to tell you, you got kids setting up front. Do you know how amazing that is? Listen, I'm sitting here, my wife and I, we can hear you singing behind us. She leaned over, she said, some of them are even raising their hands. You know, you guys are our future. I'm not blowing smoke up your hind ends here. I'm telling you the truth. You guys are our future. You're the backbone of what we got going on here. If you guys walk away from it, if you don't take it serious, if you get... I was a teenager one time. Somebody's birthday in Sunday school, and they said he was... And I said, well, yeah, he was... The Dead Sea was just sick when he was born. But... I was a teenager. I know it's hard to picture. I know what it's like to walk in those shoes. But the age that you guys live in, it's tough. And I understand that. I know that there's some tough decisions that you'll have to make. I'm begging you. We need you to stand firm. We need you to hang tight to what you've got in Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, get to know him. If you do know him, never let go of him. I can tell you personally that if you do, you got hell to pay. Because I did. I let go. I was one of the teenagers sitting on the front row in church. I got out of school. I went 100 miles an hour the other direction. And I'll tell you what, it almost cost me my life. Hang tough. Man, don't give in. Don't give in to the lies that you get told in the school. Don't give in to the things that, people your age can be mean, can't they? You know? Man, don't give in to it. Hang tight, okay? Okay, where do we go here? Let's see. What was I here for? What did he? Can't fire me. So, John 17, Jesus is praying, and he says, Father, he's praying for himself, and he prays for his disciples, and he says, Father, what I want you to do is I want you to make, he's praying for the church in the future. I think it's incredible that Jesus was praying, and I really believe that Jesus saw 2,000 plus years out into the future, and when he's praying, he's saying, Lord, make them one, talking about us. He says, make them one, even like we are one. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit intertwined together in their decisions and in their character, intertwined together. He says, make them one, just like we are one. And that's what he's calling the church to do. He's calling us to unity. And he's telling, look, the fact of the matter is, I was a Grace Brethren pastor, you know? And the fact of the matter is, if you are bought by the blood, if you're born again, if you believe that Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose from the dead, he ascended to the Father, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter if you're Methodist, it doesn't matter if you're Grace Brethren, it doesn't matter if you're Presbyterian, it doesn't matter what you are, we're on the same team. We're on the same team. We may be able to sit down and debate some passages of Scripture that mean nothing about eternity. Amen. Right?
Amen.
But we're on the same team because we meet at the cross of Jesus Christ. I told him earlier, I appreciate the fact that you guys still got the cross up here, because there are a lot of churches that are taking that cross down because it's a symbol of violence. There are churches that don't do communion anymore because it is symbolic of bloodshed. Well, I got news for you. It's the bloodshed is the reason we're sitting here together today. It's the resurrection is the reason that we have power in our life today. But God has called us to unity. If you don't believe that stuff, there's really not much I can do with you. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. But this is what Revive is all about. Revive Knox County, that's coming March 15th. This is what it's all about. It's bringing God's people together as one, to use the gifts that we have in the body of Christ to reach our communities with the good news and with the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That's plain and simply, that's what it is. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, your pastor read that passage this morning in verse 10. It says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, Paul is writing about the second coming of Christ, and he's kind of assuring the Thessalonians that, look, he hasn't come back yet, you know, these are some signs, these are some things that are going to take place when he does, and one of the things is Satan being seated in the temple. He's going to set up his throne, and he said he's going to come with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they love not because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God will send them a strong delusion, that they'll believe a lie, that they might all be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in righteousness. The fact of the matter is, we're seeing this strong delusion come over our country now. You know, I know I heard you talking about the United Methodists having their meeting and some things that are being discussed, and I know with some of it's like, why are we even talking about this, right? Why is this even a discussion? And you know, when I don't know if it's a thing, but my glasses are crooked. I don't know if it's anyway. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll be back with you here in a second. When stuff starts happening, when the Holy Spirit starts moving, when God's people start standing up, expect a battle. You're going to fight, you know. If you're not getting a battle, maybe check and see where you really are. You know, see if maybe you need to step it up a little bit. But the fact is, there's a strong delusion that's being spread over our land. And there's a lot of people in our community that are drowning in that delusion. They're drowning in lies. You know, we're drowning in a delusion that we can do this ourselves. We can so to speak, pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, that we can be our own saviors, that we can take care of this ourselves. And the fact of the matter is, we can't save ourselves. So since we can't save ourselves, what we start doing is we start looking for other avenues. You know, we'll look into drugs. We'll look, you know, we look at sex. We look at, you know, some way to control my life. And when actually we're losing control, you know, manipulation, money. You know, some of us are stuck to our possessions. And even I've seen people that try to manipulate things through poverty. You know, poor people, when you start dealing with some of that, they'll do everything they can to manipulate you to get what they think that they need. You know, the fact is, they're drowning in a delusion of self-preservation, and it's not self-preservation, it's self-destruction. And whenever you walk away from God, whenever you turn away, what's it say? It says that they didn't receive the love of the truth. So God's going to send them a strong delusion. Whenever you start walking away from God, you start walking on a path of destruction, not preservation. This whole progressive movement, it isn't progressive, it's digressive. It's taken us in the wrong direction. You know, I think I told a story earlier, but years ago I was at Pleasant Hill and I went to jump off the dock. And I didn't know how to swim, which is stupid. So, seriously, if you don't know how to swim, stay out of the water. So I jumped in the water, and what really happened was I started pulling myself in my arms. My legs were straight down, and I'm pulling myself through the water like this. It was funny to the guy watching. He started laughing, I started laughing, and then I started drowning. And I was flailing around, flapping at the water, he finally jumped in. He grabbed a hold of me. You know what I did? I grabbed a hold of him. And I started trying to climb him to get out of the water. That's what happens, right? I mean, you're in a state of panic. You're going to do whatever you can to get out of that water. So I started pulling him down with me. I was drowning. I listened to a lie. Hey, jump off the dock. You've been here a week. You ought to know how to swim. I listened to the lie, I jumped in the water, I couldn't swim, and I almost took the guy down with me. Two things there. Number one, all kinds of lies going on in our society these days. Don't get caught up in them, and don't let them discourage you. Number two, if you're the person that's out there trying to save somebody, trying to get somebody to see the delusion, don't quit. You see, Ron didn't quit trying to pull me into shore. I wouldn't be standing up here today. He stuck with it. There's some really hard situations out there to deal with the drug abuse and with other things that are going on in our culture. And what I'm telling you, church, the people that Jesus hung out with are the people that the church is repulsed by these days. Jesus hung out with the dregs of society. He hung out with the people that, you know, one more story. I was standing in a church, and I'm getting way off. How much time I don't know, is it a little? Okay. We were standing in a church, and this guy, we were having some meetings. Norm Sharball was the speaker. And this guy wandered in off the street. He was drunk. Now, I used to be a drunk. I used to be an addict. I know for a fact that drunks and addicts don't wander into a church haphazardly. He came in there because he was looking for something. You know what happened? I watched everybody. I was a fairly new believer at that time. And I watched everybody as he walked by. Oh, man, he's really making fun of him. This guy went in and he sat down in the back row of the church. It was about 10 minutes before the service started. Not one person, including myself, not one person went up to that guy and said, "Hey, what's going on? You know, can I pray with you? Can we talk?" Nobody did anything but make fun of him. He sat in there for about 5 minutes, and then he got up and he walked out. Never saw him again. To this day, I wonder, was I party to somebody going to an eternal hell? He was different than me at that point. Church, there are people out there that are drowning in a delusion, in a lie, that they can handle this themselves. We've got the answer. We've got the truth. We're the lifesavers. Billy Graham said, if a man is drowning, he doesn't need faith in himself. He needs a lifesaver. If a man is lost in a forest, he doesn't need faith in himself. He needs direction. If a man is going to the electric chair, he doesn't need faith in himself. He needs forgiveness. Church, we've got that answer. We've got that answer. So Paul goes on and he says in verse 13 of chapter 2, he says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." That just hit me with the song we sang about God pursuing us. No matter, He'll break down that wall to get to you. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned and they went and hid, Adam didn't go looking for God. People are saying, "I'm trying to find God." You're not going to find Him. He's looking for you. He's the one that's doing the pursuing. He chose you. He chose you. He pursued you. He went after you. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He called you by the gospel. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Be persistent. Don't quit. Don't give up. You guys got a lot of life to live. Man, be persistent. Stand fast. Don't quit. Don't give up. I'm not just some old guy standing up here bumping my gums. I've lived it. I know. Hang tough with it. All of us. Be persistent. God wants to do something good. And what good He's going to do in our county, in our community, in our state, in our nation, He's going to do it through us. So we've got to stand fast. And then Paul says in chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." He's saying, look, the word of the Lord was glorified in you. You got this. You were given this hope. I'll use these words. How dare you keep it to yourself? Man, you were given this, what Jesus had. And since He was glorified in you, man, pray that He opens a door so He can be glorified in others. And that's what Paul's praying for. He's praying for this open door. We've had people in our community, some from this church, that have been praying for a long time that revival would take place. I believe the reason Revive Ohio, Revive Knox County is in our county now is because of some of the prayers that have gone up from this church. You have no idea how much I appreciate this. You have no idea what this means to me that you all are. I visited your church a few weeks ago. We were passing out packets, and I came in here and I talked to the secretary, and I talked to Mike a few times, but I talked to the secretary. She says, "Oh yeah, our pastor's been talking about this." Seriously? We don't get that much. So I really appreciate the heart of this church. I really appreciate where you're talking about going to Honduras. You obviously have a heart for the gospel. Paul's desire was to fight against that delusion with the truth of the gospel. And that's our desire. We want to fight against that strong delusion that's falling over our community. And we do it with the truth of the gospel. We do it by coming together in unity. Can you imagine? The world sees all these different factions in the church. They see the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Baptists, the Grace Brethren, on and on it goes. They see all, and we're so fractured. And I'd never ask anybody, don't change your name. I appreciate some of the people that will say, I've been a Methodist my whole life. I've stuck with this. I've stood behind this. And you've stayed with it. I was raised a Baptist, But that's not the point. The point is we come together at the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? We come together. Mark Byrd, the head missionary, one of his things he'll ask is, can we at least come together? Can we unite for the gospel? And can you imagine what would happen? We got 40 churches. 40 churches, not all totally on board, but 40 churches interested in what's going on in this. Out of 120 churches in Knox County, 40 churches, 61,000 people in Knox County, 21,000 people are church. That's 62% of Knox County don't have a church. We got plenty to go around. We can share. When I was pastor of my church, I had a few I'd give you. So I'm getting a little too comfortable here, my wife will tell me. That's okay. Here's what Time to Revive is about. Number one, understanding we are one church. We're one church. John 17:23, Jesus prays for us. He says that they may become perfectly one the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. That just hit me. You love them even as you love me. Just like the Father loved the Son. That's how He loves us. Is that crazy? It's incredible. That's how much Jesus loves us. That's how much God loves us. It's one church, one message. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I say it often, I say it again, there's no religion out there that offers what we have. Not one. No religion. I won't go there. And number three, we win one at a time. One church, one message, one at a time. Jesus, I think it was mentioned this morning about, I think you said it this morning up here. Jesus goes, it was one of the songs, wasn't it? Jesus leaves the 99 that are okay. They're in the sheepfold, right? And he goes after the one. You know what the church has done too much these days? We stay in the sheepfold and take care of the 99, and the one out here suffers. But we're going to leave the 99, and that 99 we're going to scatter out, and we're going to go after the one. So it's one church, one message, one at a time. Revive Ohio, Revive Knox County will teach you how simple it is to share the gospel with people, how simple it is, how easy it is, and there's no fear involved. It's not an in-your-face kind of evangelism. It's simply walking up to somebody and, how can I pray for you? You know there's very few people that are turning that down. We've been doing it for years. We used to cold knock. I had one door slammed in my face. We're not knocking on doors, by the way, just so you know. But people are not as disinterested in hearing this message as we've been taught that they are, as we've been told they are. We live in a time of hopelessness, and people want hope. They desire hope. And we've got that answer. So you're going to learn how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going to learn how easy it is. It's 6 days when the body comes together and we learn to reach out to our community. together. It 6 days sounds like a lot. Oh my goodness, you know, from 6-7 o'clock in the morning till 8:30 at night. That's, you know, man, for 6 days, how can I? Just do what you can. You know, if you would commit to coming in one session, come in, eat breakfast or eat lunch or something, get trained and just join a team and go out. Or come in and give 1 day of just staying back and praying for the people that are going out. Or if you would come in and serve some food 1 day, you know, just give what you can. We're not asking. We know it's impossible to give up that much time, especially if you work and you're in school and that kind of stuff. But if you just give 1 day. Do what you can. There's room for almost, for not almost, there's room for any gift that's out there. Listen, the church is drowning, or the world is drowning in a sea of lies. We've got the truth. We have no right to set on it. We need to get out there. Would everybody stand up? Do you have your Bibles? I haven't done this for a while. I'm gonna step out on a limb here. If you got your Bible or your iPad or your phone or whatever you read your Bible on, hold it up. Hold it up. Pastor, look. Once again, I've been in several churches. A lot of churches don't carry their Bibles anymore. I mean, look at that. I want you to repeat after me. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation to anyone who believes. Amen. You can sit down. This is what Revive is about. We've got sign-up cards. Would it be all right if I just pass some of these out and let people... I'm going to, matter of fact, I'll have my wife. Okay. You got them there? Give them to some of these teenagers here. Let them pass them out. On those cards, it says, you know, yes, I will partner with Revive Ohio. I will commit to pray. I will commit to going out on an outreach team at least once. I'll help with Revive Kids. Incidentally, this isn't just for adults. They got a whole thing going on for our teens and for our younger kids. I'll provide housing. If you got a bed that you can spare, somebody filled out a card that they can open up. They have a bed that they can use this morning. So if you've got a bed, the Revive team, whoever would be staying at your place, you don't have to feed them or anything. They'll be at your house at 10 o'clock at night. They'll go to bed. They'll get up, take a shower, and they'll be gone by 6 o'clock in the morning or earlier. So you won't hardly even know they're there. They just need a place to sleep and shower. I'm interested and willing to be trained as a disciple maker. As I told you earlier, team, we don't just go out, share the gospel, hope somebody says the sinner's prayer. If somebody does make a profession of faith in Christ, we stick with them, and we're going to train people that have volunteered to disciple. They'll pair you up with somebody, and for a year you'll go through what is called Project 52, and it's 26 lessons out of the Old Testament, 26 lessons out of the New Testament. Very easy. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to go through it. Very easy to go through this with somebody, and you sit with somebody for once a week for a year to disciple them. And it's I'm interested in becoming a team leader, which would scare a lot of us, but I guarantee you, after you've gone, if you go out once or twice with a team, you'll see how easy it is, and you'll be a team leader. So that's Revive Ohio. Please, next Sunday, 6:30 at the Vineyard Church in Mount Vernon, they're having a come and see. And I would be remiss if I didn't, one more thing. The way we share the gospel is wristbands and Bibles that are notched and have the same colors as a wristband. It basically goes through the Romans road, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 said, and the wages of those The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God showed his love toward us in that while I was still a sinner, Jesus Christ died for me. And if you will, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's not what you do. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't brag about what I have in Jesus because he's the one that paid the whole price. And it says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's as simple as that. Praying with somebody, sharing the gospel. And I would encourage you this morning, if you're sitting in here this morning and you don't know exactly where you stand with God, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Give Jesus the opportunity to come in and show you the change that he can make in your life. Thank you so much for letting me come and share. I appreciate it. Thank you, Pastor.